Welcome to Conversations with John and Lisa, except Lisa isn't here today. I am instead joined with Addison, my son, and Matt Joya, who is an adopted son. Welcome, Addison, to Conversations.
Thank you, John. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. Addison, by the way, is my oldest. He is father of four children. He's given us four G babies, and they're all adorably cute.
And no more.
And no, that's up for discussion still. But anyway, Lisa is actually traveling, and I miss her very much. These guys are amazing, but they are not as cute as she is. I just got to let you know that right now. And Matt is with us. Matt Joya, another Italian brother. Matt, you've been with Messenger International for how long now?
Almost 12 years now.
Yeah, and you are like a son. And I had the privilege of marrying, doing the ceremony for you and Jess. And you have how many children?
We have four children as well, and we're still counting. So
still counting. Talk to my son, please.
Big mistake.
Talk to him. But guys, what are we going to talk about today? Matt, why don't you start?
Well, I'm humbled and excited, John, to talk about this Driven by Eternity message. I've read every single book you've ever written. I've heard most of your sermons, and this book has made the most profound impact on my life personally. And actually, I've witnessed that on the road as you preach this message. So I'm excited to talk about this Driven by Eternity message.
How did it impact you?
Well, it focuses in on calling and destiny and purpose of each and every single believer. And immediately when I heard it, I hear everything through a military lens. I served in the Army. And what I thought of is it would be absolute chaos if a soldier enlisted in the Army and he was issued a rifle and then he just headed out there and did what he thought was best to do.
Wow.
We have an individual assignment. Every soldier receives orders. There's rank, order, and authority. And so immediately when I heard there's a specific calling and destiny and purpose on my life, that's exactly how I saw it. And that's the truth for each and every single believer in the kingdom.
And Addison, let me you helped me revise this book.
I
wrote the book 10 years ago, and you helped me with the revise and update. We yanked out about 4,000 words and added about 6,000 more. So I know you're really passionate. How did this book touch you?
Well, I think the big thing for me is just we don't think about eternity. It's not in front of us. And everything in life is about perspective. And so if they don't think about the life beyond the 70, 80, 90 years on earth, they don't think about the life beyond what we have now, then they're not going to live for something bigger than themselves. So they're going to live small. The relationships are going to be small. Family dynamics are going to be small. Vocations are going to be small. And so for me, it's one of those messages that reframes everything in life, everything. Nothing is off limits.
Well, when you think about it, if we talk about the eternal, first of all, Job, in the book of Job, it says, no man can understand eternity.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, I remember looking up in two different dictionaries, major dictionaries,
right,
the definition of eternity. And the first dictionary, and this is major, okay? It's not like an offshoot. It said infinite time. And then the second dictionary said the state of existing outside of time. And I remember, Matt, when I saw that, Addison, I said, oh my gosh, why don't we question this? I mean, can you imagine a science book saying a fish is a vertebrae that lives outside of water, and the other science book says it's a vertebrae living inside of water? We go, one of these is wrong, throw it out. Why haven't we done this with eternity? Mm-hmm. Because no man can understand it. But Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that what we can't understand with our mind, God has placed it in our heart. And you that are listening, I mean, if you just try to think about the end of the universe, I'm going to prove to you, you can't grasp infinite concepts. What's at the end of the universe? I mean, is there a wall? Well, what's on the other side of the wall? Isn't there more space? Wouldn't that be the end of the universe? I mean, you mentally can't. Think about this. God never starting, never beginning, never ending. He is from everlasting to everlasting.
Right.
It blows our circuits.
Eternity is his. It's a concept that only he can understand because he's the only one who inhabits it.
He's called the King of Eternity.
The King of Eternity.
I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's awesome.
That's good.
You know, so when you think about the eternal, Addison, I love what you just said. Everything, perspective changes.
Everything.
I mean, the person that lives with an eternal perspective is the person who will endure things that a person with a 70, 80 year perspective wouldn't endure. They'll make decisions differently. They'll have different pursuits, different goals. In fact, I was just in the nation of Brazil, guys. And it was last December. And I was asked to speak to their pastors and leaders. Now get this, there were 14,000 pastors and leaders in the auditorium. And the passion of these guys was mind blowing. And I was just in awe to see that many leaders so excited about Jesus. So the next day I'm at lunch, and the first shock hits me when I find out that they have over 300,000 people in the church. So I'm like, wow, that's a big network. But then the ultimate shock hits me. And they looked at me and said, well, we started the church, the one single church that grew into multiple churches around the nation. We started in 1999. I went, whoa, 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 whoa. Well, that's 2015. I said, that's 16 years. You mean you've grown to 300,000 wow. people in 16 years?
That's amazing.
I know. So this is not made up, guys. I know a lot of you are in America listening. It's not made up. So I'm in shock, and I look at the pastors sitting across the table, and I said, guys, how in the world do you grow in a first world nation? Because you guys have all the distractions down here that we have in America. How do you grow a church to 300,000 in just 16 years in a first world nation? Now, I thought that I asked a rhetorical question. Right. I think, okay, I know what the guy's going to say. Yeah. He's going to say it's because of our home cell groups, because that's what they usually say in these foreign nations. And he doesn't even bat an eye. He doesn't even pause. He goes, oh, I'll tell you why. Because we teach our people on eternal rewards and judgment.
Yeah.
He said, I've been to America. You Americans don't. And he said, so our people live with an eternal perspective. Just what you just said, yeah. Addison. And he said, Americans don't. They live their life with a 70, 80 year perspective. Matt, looks like you want to say something. I can see it.
No, it's just something that I've witnessed, that people don't live for that. In fact, I think you make a reference in the book about, you know, if we spend as much time planning for our retirement as we do for eternity, what would our lives look like? And unfortunately, what I've noticed is that people don't even spend that much time planning for their retirement anymore. We have this now mentality, living for the present day.
Yeah, I watched my dad. You know, my dad never made more than $45,000 a year as an engineer. And yet when he retired, he had over $1 million. And my dad prepared. He worked every Saturday morning. He would work diligently on his investments and, because of his preparation, live a very comfortable retirement. And my dad got saved at 79. So he did this as an unsaved man, just a faithful man. But, you know, you're right. They're like 50 years old going, oh no, I'm going to retire in 12 years. I don't have anything saved. Well, what's even worse is entering into eternity, the judgment seat, unprepared. I mean, it's mind-blowing when you think about it. So, you know, if you look at Hebrews chapter 6, guys, it's really amazing. Hebrews 6 verses 1 and 2 tells us that the elementary teaching of Jesus Christ is, of course, repentance from dead works, faith in God, laying on of hands, or the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead. And then the sixth one is eternal judgments. Now, one day, it's like the Holy Spirit ministered this to me. What do we get in elementary school, guys?
Addition, subtraction, reading.
The basics. And we use those basics to build our
foundation.
Our foundation and our future education.
Right, right.
So I want you to sit there and think with me for a minute. Everybody's listening, okay? Try to get a college education not knowing how to read or write. I mean, you'd have a tough time in life. So we believers are trying to build a healthy, godly Christian life without even the elementary teaching,
yeah.
without the foundational teaching of Jesus Christ. So we can go to church, we can hear great teaching, but listen to the other word Hebrews chapter 6 uses, is foundation. Well, you can build a gorgeous six-story house. I mean, most houses I've seen that are really big and we consider to be big, I mean, the biggest I've ever seen, I think, is 4 stories. Can you imagine a 6-story house, how gorgeous that'd be? But if it has no foundation, when a big enough storm comes, it's going to blow the thing, and the bigger it is, the harder it's going to fall.
Yep.
So if we don't have that foundation of understanding the eternal, eternal judgments, we're in trouble.
Well, and we're eternal spirits inhabiting a physical temporal body.
Yes.
So we long for eternity. Our spirit longs
That's
to
so
understand
good, Addison.
Eternity. And if you study scripture, it is everywhere in scripture, this concept of eternity and what eternity is going to mean to us one day, and what that looks like for our existence and what it looks like as a member of the body of Christ. And yet no one talks about eternity.
Well, you know,
or we make it really weird.
Right. And guys, let me just tell you, when I first got the instructions from the Holy Spirit to write this book, I'll never forget it. He said, I want you to write in the judgment seats. And I was like, I may have preached 20 minutes total all my life on the judgment seats. How can I write even a paragraph or a page or a chapter, let alone a whole book. And then it's so amazing to me how God will not argue with you. He just said nothing. So I thought, I got to do this. So you know what I did is I got every scripture in the Bible on eternity, on heaven, on hell, on judgments, on rewards, on losses, out of 7 different translations. And I got a notebook a half inch thick with printed out scriptures. Wow. And I did nothing but meditate on those scriptures for one solid month before I wrote a word. And what I realized is, oh my, my, God has so much to say about this. Yeah. No wonder it's an elementary doctrine, you know? But Matt, I want you to share with me, have you had a Christian experience in your lifetime with the awareness of the judgment seat and without the awareness of the judgment seat? What were the differences you saw in your personal life?
Well, again, it's like you said, when you have an awareness that you are going to sit before Jesus as king and give an account of your stewardship, and the Bible talks about in Corinthians that our works are going to be judged, and some will burn like hay or straw and others will be like gold and silver. I mean, it gives you that passion and that fuel to endure things, like you said, that you wouldn't normally endure. And I think it just gives me a renewed sense of purpose of waking up in the morning and understanding and recognizing that this life truly isn't about me. It's about building other people. And when you understand that there are people going to hell, and in fact, the majority of people are on their way to hell.
And you didn't just pull that out of the air. Jesus said that, right?
That those are Jesus' words. In fact, he talked more about hell in the New Testament than he talked about heaven. And so that's one of the things that we don't hear very much about, but it gives you a renewed sense and love and compassion for people. And you'll do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. And you'll step out into maybe awkward situations to share because you recognize these people are heading towards death. And I carry the words of eternal life. And so I have to put myself in these situations where I can share that truth.
So we're basically whetting people's appetites for what we're going to talk about next podcast. So I just can't stress how important it is to get this. I want to close here, and I'll let you close, Matt, but let me just read this to reemphasize what you were saying. C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity, this is a direct quote from him, "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this one."
Yeah. Man, that is so good. True. Guys, we want to thank you so much for tuning in. And you can also find the book, Affabel, the Driven by Eternity Study, the Driven by Eternity Starter Pack at drivenbyeternity.com. I want to thank you for listening. Please take the time to review the podcast. If you enjoyed it, if any of it resonated with you, we encourage you to share it and to send it out to as many friends as possible. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Matt and Addison, it's been great being with you.
It's been fun being here with you too.
Okay.